Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 41. Luke 19, 28 through 41. In verse 28, it says, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at a hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying this colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, and when he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, Rabbi, rebuke your servants, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus looked at them and said, I tell you, if my disciples keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He cried. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now, it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. The word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. Father, we pray that you would bless our time together this morning, Lord, and that you would just slow our hearts and our minds and our attention down so that we can immerse ourselves for the next couple of moments in this story. Father, I pray that this story would come alive, that it wouldn't just be words on a page that we read about, but that it would become reality in our souls and make a tremendous eternal difference in each and every one of our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has anybody here ever gotten caught in a presidential motorcade before? Gotten stuck in traffic by a presidential motorcade? It's happened. I see a couple of heads nodding. It's happened to me before. The president flies into town. Usually they give a big, you know, check or something, or there's going to be a rally or a campaign event or something like that. But presidential campaign or presidential motorcade, about 25, 30 cars and all. You got the Secret Service and all of the stuff that they do to create the pomp and the circumstance of the president coming into town. You got lights and sirens. You got police motorcycles usually that are riding alongside the presidential motorcade. A lot of the times when the president comes to town, they'll do rolling traffic jams. They'll close the road down for security purposes. They'll close 675 down or something like that. And we'll all be sitting in our cars so that the president doesn't have to sit in traffic. It's got to be nice being the president of the United States. You don't have to ever sit in a traffic jam. And you know, there's all the security. There's all of like the seal of the president of the United States on the car. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes that you don't even know about when the president's coming into town, because the Secret Service is very, very deliberate about creating a bubble of safety around the president of the United States wherever he goes. And this whole episode that we're reading about this week with regard to Palm Sunday, this whole episode in this passage we just read is really, it's really a story about recognizing and responding to the authority of Jesus. Recognizing and responding to the authority and lordship and the kingship of Jesus Christ. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about coming to grips with the authority of Jesus Christ. And I love this story this morning. As a matter of fact, when I laid out this sermon series, this particular message wasn't even in the series until I was flipping back through my notes from last summer and realized that, oh my goodness, the theme of authority plays through even the story of Palm Sunday, which is pretty cool. And so we're going to just kind of walk through this passage this morning and see how the authority of Jesus plays out. And we're going to see how what is demanded of us is to not just recognize, but to respond appropriately to the authority of Jesus. It's very easy to recognize someone in a crowd, isn't it? You see somebody, you recognize them. But how many of you are brave enough if you recognize someone to go up and say hi to them? Only a few. How many of you wouldn't do that because you're just too shy? We've got a couple raising their hands this morning. It's like, I see them, I recognize them, but I'm not going to respond to them. Your response is, for some of us, it's to go up and say hi. For others, it's to, nah, I'm too shy. I'm going to act like I didn't even see him. Have any of you been guilty of that before? You just went to Kroger or Walmart for milk and bread, and you didn't really want to talk to anybody, and you literally saw somebody from church, and they didn't see you, and you like rush off into another aisle so that you don't have to talk to them. Come on now, you can be honest. That happens sometimes with people. How we recognize and respond to the authority of Jesus is really important in our lives. And we see it playing out here. So let's walk through this passage. First of all, let's go to verse 29 of Luke chapter 19. Verse 29, it says, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go down into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell him, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. On this early Sunday morning, it's daybreak. Jesus himself is teeing up the necessity to acknowledge his authority when he instructs the disciples to grab the colt. And if anyone asks you, tell them, the Lord needs it. He's revealing himself and his authority by just telling them to do that. He's demonstrating. He's giving the commands. They're not. He's demonstrating his authority. He's revealing himself. He's revealing his authority to his disciples that he gave these instructions to so that they could be confident in doing it. Because it would be really weird for me to tell one of you, hey, I want you to go down three doors. I want you to knock on their door and we need their pickup truck. Why? Because my pastor said so. That'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? That'd be a little weird. Most people would slam the door or not even at this time on a Sunday morning, maybe not even answer. But Jesus reveals himself to the disciples so that they are given these really weird instructions. He's giving them this authority so that they can be confident in their work. Sure enough, the disciples, they go into the city and they find that donkey colt right where Jesus said it would be. And guess what? The owner confronts them. What do you mean you want my donkey? What do you mean you want my colt? You know, and so for the disciples here, this is a moment of truth. They've got a choice. They've obeyed Jesus. They've asked for the colt. And the owner says, what? Say what? I wish I could get the whole congregation at once to say, what? There you go. Will they wither and fade back and retreat? Or will they proceed on carrying out Jesus' instructions? They're challenged by the owner. And when challenged, they proclaim Jesus' authority. They simply say, in faith, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. And the owner of the colt backs off immediately. There's no questioning. He doesn't know who Jesus is that we know of. It's a stranger. The Lord needs it. And the challenge is resolved. There's no challenge to the underlying authority of this statement by the owner of the colt, because I believe the owner of the colt is realizing who the true owner of the colt is this morning. He's realizing who the true owner is, and that the true owner of the colt needs that colt for this situation. They bring the colt back to Jesus. They put some blankets on it, a couple robes on it. Jesus hops on, and then something amazing happens, right? With no radio, with no cable television, no internet, no Facebook, there's no TikTok, no Drudge Report. Scores of people are drawn out of their homes, drawn into the streets of the city to acknowledge the arrival of Jesus. It just happens kind of spontaneously. In verse 36, it says, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. This was not planned. He's just arriving at Jerusalem. People spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen, for all the authority of Jesus that they had witnessed in those miracles or heard about. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Picture this in your mind. I went out on the interwebs and tried to find a picture of what Palm Sunday may have been like on that Sunday morning, on that sunny Sunday morning. People gathering around Jesus as he turns the corner at the Mount of Olives and starts heading down the hill into Jerusalem. They're treating him like a king all the way down to the city gates. You see, back in that time, in that culture, you just didn't do that for anyone. You did that for Caesar. You did that for kings and rulers. You did that for Herod. You did not do that for a rabbi. You did not do that for anyone besides the top authority. Jesus is getting presidential motorcade treatment, even though he has no earthly title. Do you see it happening here? All the people gathering around. They are never, and I'm sure that many of them, they've heard of the authority worked out in the miracles. But they have never seen for themselves. They're never told, but they cry out to him with respect to his true identity. You know, and it's like this in crowds some of the time. When people start, you know, especially in a political environment like there was in Jerusalem back then, if someone thinks they see revolution coming, guess what? They join in the crowd. I don't even know who this guy is, but blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because revolution! We're going to overthrow the political oppressors, and this guy's going to be our new king. At least that's what I think everybody else in the crowd is saying. Go along to get along. Don't want to be on the losing side. So these people see somebody coming in and making a grand statement as if they're an authority. And they recognize the authority of Jesus. They recognize his authority and they make way for him. They praise him as they make way for him to proceed. Traffic in the city is stopped. It's a traffic jam as the procession travels down the road along into Jerusalem. Do we recognize him as we are making way for him? You see, some of these people, they were making way for him and they really didn't know who he was. Do we recognize him as we are making way for him? You know, our praises declare his true identity. When we praise the Lord, we're declaring his true identity. When we praise the Lord, not only are we proclaiming his identity, but we're allowing him to proceed and go forward. Our praises open doors. Did you know that? When you withhold your praise, you close doors for Jesus to move forward. When you come to church and just kind of go through the motions in worship and it really doesn't touch you, you're really not into the songs, you're really just not into it today, don't feel like it, I'm in a funk, don't want to do this, but I'm here because I have to be. You know, our praises, when we withhold our praises, we're basically closing the doors of our hearts to the authority of Jesus. Praise is a way that we open our hearts to the reality of his authority. Amen. Our praise is kind of like the lights and the sirens in the presidential motorcade. You can hear the motorcade coming from a long way away, right? And what happens when you hear sirens coming down the road and you're in a car? What do? You pull over to the side. This actually just happened to me on Thursday morning driving to work. Trying to get on the highway. Ambulance is coming. I could have made it to that exit and been on my way, but the people in front of me, they decided to make a way. I was like, yeah, it's probably good for me to do that too. I'm not in that much of a hurry. Lights, sirens, they warn us to make way. Make way for the authorities as they come through to the rescue. Your praises make way in this world for Jesus to come. And if we withhold our praise, He can't come in our lives. When was the last time you truly were engulfed in worship, praising the Lord, and not just checking the box? Truly relishing His authority in your life. Truly worshiping Him and actually making a way for Him. You know, folks, He can't even come and work in us unless we praise Him first.
Amen.
Our praises open the doors. And when we keep our hearts' doors closed and our praises locked down, He can't work in our lives. How could He work in our community if even His people won't praise Him? Our praises are critical in acknowledging the authority of Jesus. And not everyone in this crowd this morning is ready to acquiesce to the authority of Christ. Just look at how the religious leaders, the Pharisees, react to this spontaneous display of authority by the crowds. They're recognizing the authority of Jesus. And the Pharisees, some of the Pharisees in verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Make those children be quiet. Rebuke your disciples." And Jesus, He's on that cold, and I think He looks over at the Pharisees and He's like, "Dudes, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. They can't help but to acknowledge my authority." The Pharisees fail to recognize who Jesus really is. They fail to recognize who He really is. They see Jesus, because they're so ensconced in their own selfishness, they see Jesus as a poser. Jesus is a poser. Jesus is an imposter. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Jesus, they perceive Jesus as an enemy to their authority that they've manufactured so that they can manipulate the people they should be teaching about God. These Pharisees are really bad. They look like holy men, but in their hearts, they're all about keeping their power. They're all about manipulating the people for their own gain and for their own purposes to preserve their own authority. They're all about control and exploitation.
Amen.
They don't recognize Jesus' authority and instead proclaim their own as He passes by. "Rebuke these people. We're going to get in trouble." I can see them. They're worried, because they're worried they're going to get in trouble if there's a religious riot in Jerusalem the week of Passover. They could get in trouble. They don't recognize Jesus' authority. And what happens? I kind of read a lot into the Scriptures some of the time, but I really feel like if we're made in the image of God, there's a dose of sarcasm in Jesus some of the time. How many of you are sarcastic? We can all be sarcastic some of the time. I have a feeling, just as God has a sense of humor, sometimes God can be sarcastic too. And I have a feeling that in this particular instance, Jesus might have been just a little sarcastic and rolled His eyes and said, "Dudes, if they don't do this, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out. What are you talking about?" In other words, Jesus is kind of calling them blockheads. Blockheads! If these people don't acknowledge my authority, then the stones will cry out and preach and proclaim my authority. He's saying to the Pharisees, "Don't you see me? Don't you recognize my authority in front of you? Or are you so blinded by trying to control your own world? Are you so blinded by your own perceived authority that you fail to be able to see my authority, which is actually bigger and more powerful than any earthly authority that exists?" We like to think we control our lives, folks, but control is an illusion. Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the one who's in control. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, don't you see me? And this encounter with the Pharisees, not only is Jesus kind of, you know, a little sarcastic, but then I think he starts reflecting as he keeps on going into the city. And as you're coming into Jerusalem, he's rounded that corner from the Mount of Olives, and the whole cityscape kind of comes in front of you. And the view I would think of is, how many of you have driven on I-75 in Cincinnati? How many of you, if you've driven down there, you know what it's like, either north or south. You just kind of come around the turn on 75, and all of a sudden the city's there. If you're coming north from Florence, you come around that bend, you go down the hill, and all of a sudden the city unfolds like that. That's kind of the trail to Jerusalem. That's what it's like. The city just opens up in front of you. And as the whole city opens up in front of Jesus, in verse 41, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he began to cry. He began to weep for the city and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now, it is hidden from you. It's hidden. What's going on here? Why does he break down on this triumphant entrance? It seems like a weird emotion for his big day. You know, this is kind of like coronation day almost for Jesus. Why does he break down as he's riding in victory into the city? The emotional reaction from Jesus doesn't seem to be appropriate for the moment. The crowds are crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he's sitting on this donkey and his tears are rolling down his eyes. Weeping. Weeping for the city. This emotional reaction from Jesus, it's not because he's scared of what's coming, and he knows what's coming. It's not because he's nervous. Sometimes we get so nervous it makes us cry. It's not because he's uncertain, right? Remember, this is the one with all authority under his discretion. There's no fear in Jesus right here. There are no nerves on display. He's not crying because he knows what's coming. There's only certainty in what he says, in his authority. It is a certainty mixed with compassion and sympathy for those now cheering who in a few days will be jeering. The same people crying, Hosanna, he knows will turn on him and cry out, crucify, and sentence him to death on a cross. Jesus is weeping at this point because he knows that even as he approaches Jerusalem, some will recognize him and respond appropriately. Some will recognize him, but there are those who will not. And his heart is broken over the fact that there are those who will fail to recognize and respond appropriately to his authority in their lives. And what a tragedy for those who do not recognize and respond appropriately to Jesus' authority. Folks, we've all had enough church at Maplewood to save 1,000 communities. Most of us have had enough church in our lives to save all of Springfield. We've had enough exposure to the gospel to save maybe all of Clark County, just in this faith community. And Jesus weeps over those who would recognize, that's Jesus, but fail to respond appropriately to his authority. If only they had known. If only they had recognized that this day could bring them the peace that their hearts so long for. But instead, they refuse to recognize his true identity, and they refuse to bow to his undeniable authority, and they bring woe. Not only to themselves, but to their community, to their families, to their nation, and to all of creation. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would you recognize Jesus this morning if he passed by? Would you even recognize Jesus this morning if he passed by us in a parade or a procession? Or would our eyes and our discernment be clouded by our own sin and our own self-centeredness and our own self-appointed authority in our own hearts? In verse 43, Jesus addresses what will happen for those who fail to recognize and bow to his authority. He said of the Pharisees and the unbelieving hearts in Jerusalem in verse 43, "The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Do you see it here, church? Do you see it here, Maplewood? There are consequences for failing to recognize and bow to the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. There are consequences. And you might say, "Oh, it's just me. It's my own personal decision." But we all have outsized impact in our circle of influence, whether we want to admit it or not. There are consequences not just for us, but for our family, for our children, for our children's children, for our community, for our nation. Jesus is King, and He will not be denied.
Amen.
He will not be denied the recognition He deserves. We will either willingly do it now, and I think we're in a time of opportunity for humanity to make a decision to accept Jesus and to keep on accepting Him. The song we sang this morning, it says, "Nothing can pluck us from His hand." There is one thing. There is one thing that can pluck you from the hand of Jesus. That's you.
Amen.
He holds us, but He holds us conditionally based on our choice. And if you decide to reject His authority in your life and go your own way, then we've rejected Him. We've rejected Him. And we will either willingly in this time that's been granted to us acknowledge Jesus and who He is and His authority, or there will come a day when every rebellion, resistant, or apathetic heart will be forced to recognize His authority. And I think the vast majority of hearts that are going to recognize and finally respond to the authority of Jesus on Judgment Day are going to be the hearts that have been lulled to sleep in apathy towards the things of the kingdom. We need to wake up, church.
Amen.
We need to rise up. We need to wake up spiritually. We need to ask Jesus to wake us up, to shake us up, and wake us up so we will be able to acknowledge His authority and respond appropriately. Because if we don't, He says every knee and every knee will bow. Every heart will confess that Jesus Christ is the authority, that He is the Lord. Some people will come and say, "But Jesus, I recognize You." And the Scriptures, He tells His disciples in teaching them, there are a lot of people that are going to come and say, "Master, Master," and He's going to say, "Away, I knew You not." You played church, you played a good game, church. You played the role really nicely. But in your heart, it wasn't real. You weren't living your life like you were acknowledging My authority every day in every decision and every choice that you made. And He'll say, "Away, I knew you not." This morning on Palm Sunday 2024, Jesus is standing right before us. And maybe He looks like a little boy. I don't know. Jesus is standing right in front of us this morning. And today, again, He is giving us the opportunity to recognize Him. And not only recognize, but respond appropriately to His authority, to who He really is. Will we seize the opportunity this morning and not only recognize Him, but bow to His authority in our hearts? Or will we miss it? Or either out of rebellion, or, "Pastor, I'm just too tired this morning." That is apathy, when you're like, "I'm just not into this." That is the devil lulling your soul to sleep. Oh, I just really don't care. This Christianity thing just doesn't do it for me. That is the devil. The sandman of the devil putting our souls to rest. Putting us to sleep. Today, this morning, represents a new opportunity for us to recognize the authority of Jesus and respond to Him as King.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.